Michael. So you've got a, for those listening terrestrially now, we do this as a video cast, ladderwithcrowder.com. Dana has a new, what is it? Is it a bob? What do you call that hairdo?
I got tired of having long hair. That's what it is. And I went gradually shorter so I didn't freak anybody out. But I didn't tell Chris I was doing it.
Ooh.
So, well, you know, I totally gambled that one, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I went in and I'm like, just cut it off. Cut it off. Because it's been, you know how long it's been. You asked me one time, Stephen, when we were in Colorado at that event that occupiers crashed and like we smelled them. You asked me, you were like, do you have extensions? Because my hair was so long.
Did I actually ask you that? That's an incredibly gay question for a straight male to ask.
I know. I was like, are you not straight anymore? But no, it's just how long my hair was. So anyway, I cut it off.
Well, it looks good. I will tell you this.
Lighter.
You had me worried for a little bit, and we spoke about this. There were about two appearances where they tried to give you the big Fox News hair, and I saw it, and I was like, that's not Dana. I hope she doesn't stay with that. And then you got rid of it really quickly.
I mean, you say Fox News hair. I think Priscilla Presley, it's kind of the same It's the wedding photo with Elvis hair.
Yeah.
You can put stuff in it. There's cubbies in the back.
That's what it's like. I mean, you know, there's an older demo, and they just love the big hair and the gams, and that's what sells. It looks good. It's kind of the whole Aeon Flux thing going on.
Oh, my gosh. Did you seriously just say that?
Is that what you went in and said, give me the Aeon Flux?
Yes, I did. I went in there and I said, I want Aeon Flux hair, but I don't want the catfish whiskers that come out.
Yeah.
And I was like, do that. And so, voila.
Well, it was good hair, but terrible motion picture. Dana, so you have a radio show, obviously nationally syndicated on our wonderful affiliate here, Wham in Detroit. But a lot of people may not necessarily know your background, how you came into it, because, you know, my background was always stand-up comedy, entertainment, and yours was a little bit different. So let's talk about that, because I realized this. So I was talking with your husband. You know, a lot of my listeners don't even know anything about my background because I'm always talking about the news. And you may not necessarily talk with your audience about this so much. So tell my audience and they can rally the information.
Oh, I used to be a dirty, dirty liberal. Like the ones that were like the liberal that was annoying. And Stephen, I also talk with my hands a lot.
It's true.
I used to not only be a dirty, dirty liberal, but I was also one of those annoying fembot feminists, like the type who would have gotten mad about the Bud Light St. Patrick's Day tweet today.
Really?
But I used to be, I mean, maybe not that bad. I mean, I didn't go into a rage spiral every time a man held a door open for me, but
I would have hated you.
Oh my God. I hate me in the past. Like if there was a time machine, I would love to go back in time and kick my own ass. It would be amazing. And this one would totally win. But no, that's, and the more educated I became and the more that I grew up and matured, that's when I started very slowly converting, and being a mom was a huge part of it. But it's kind of hard when your whole family is liberal. I had no shot. My whole family was liberal, and they worked with the state party, the Democrats in Missouri. My uncle was a delegate for Barack Obama in 2012. So I really didn't have, and I went to a very liberal arts university. So liberal. Not the Tocqueville kind. That's who I was surrounded by. So it was really hard. And then they accused me, some members of my family accused me of going to the city and getting brainwashed. Southern Missouri, you say there's an R in wash. Washed.
Why? So you say, what's wrong with them?
With what?
What's wrong with people in Missouri that they have to add an R? It's like it's a speech impediment that requires effort to add something.
It wasn't until I got into broadcasting, and when I get really tired or if I have a glass of wine, I don't enunciate as well.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Up on the blank top, tick, tick, tick. What's the word? Blank top. What's the top of your house is called a
rooftop.
Okay, you say roof. Okay. You don't say roof.
No, because it's what dogs say.
Okay. I've never heard a dog say roof, nor bow wow.
But there's an R. If you go to Southern Missouri, there's an R in Warsh. It's either Warsh or Warsh, depending.
What we need to do is take people from Missouri and send them to England to teach them how to pronounce an R, and then you can meet at an intersect. What is that? They never we speak English properly. There's an R in properly.
Whenever I hear Charles Cook, whenever I hear him talk, I just want to, I secretly in the back of my head, obviously, because it's in the back of my head, I think, you're a fake Englishman. your accent's fake. But he's not. You know, he's not. But it just sounds like his diction and everything's too perfect. And
that
so
with South, oh, that's pretty good, actually. South African can sound really fake. It sounds like someone poorly doing an Australian accent. And there was a guy one time named Charleston, and we were in Campbell, California. And I remember that because he started, you know, he started talking, and I said, like, oh, it's almost as bad as Leo in Blood Diamond. And he was like, no, I'm just from South Africa. I'm like, ah, that's a terrible Australian accent. We're not friends anymore.
No, I've never, the only time I've ever, I don't think I've ever heard a total proper South African accent except D. Antwoord.
The name's drawing a blank right now. Should I be?
Okay, it's a band. It's like a band of South African rednecks. It's, they look like South African rednecks. Like they have mullets, but it's supposed to be arty. I don't know.
There's some there's some great social subtext to that because of the racism and the apartheid state that with
that's,
sure we could
I
draw.
Think exactly what they're hitting.
But we
on.
Have to go to a break. We'll bring you right back. Dana Lash, Ladder with Crowder. We are back with the one and only Dana Lash, who has hoop earrings that are clinking on her microphone right now. So please forgive her, for she knows not what she does.
I try not to move my head. I don't wear a lot of jewelry, but I'm like, hoops go with everything.
You wear plenty of jewelry. What are you talking about?
No, I don't. I have like four big necklaces that people make fun of when I go on Fox or CNN. They're like, what is that?
Well, your husband wears more jewelry than many women.
No, he just has the earrings.
The bracelets.
Well, we have our leather wristy cuffs.
I know. It looks like something like those kids in like Captain Planet would wear to display their powers. Like Earth, wind,
someone made them
fire.
Because they knew we were former goth kids. So somebody made them. Yeah, well, and that's what, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Either when I see bracelets that thick, I think either you're about to go to a powerlifting meet or they are non-pragmatic in everyday life because it makes it hard to bend. Removes your flexibility.
But it looks cool.
This is a weird conversation. So now that the listeners have entirely turned off the dial. So right. Dana, okay. So your book, Hands Off My Gun. So you were a liberal.
Yeah.
Now, when you transitioned, you're kind of known, I guess, one of your calling cards, I should say, is the gun issue. I think, you know, obviously people like to pigeonhole folks and you offer a lot more than that, but it's an issue where you've been a strong advocate, clearly. Were you a leftist who was still pro Second Amendment, or were you all the way like anti-gun when you were to the left?
No, I was still a leftist who was still pro Second Amendment. I mean, you kind of have to be. It's weird because the left in a rural area where all my family is, I mean, they come from a town of like 300 people. So everybody has a firearm, but they don't really carry handguns so much as everybody has rifles. So everybody has the pickup truck and you got the gun rack in the back glass and you got your rifle there. And that's just how it was. People had their gun cabinets in the middle of their living rooms. Mm-hmm. I had a relative that had a gun cabinet in their dining room in place of a China hutch. So it's that you just kind of, you grow up with it. And because they hunted, I was never against ever. And I was always constitutional carry for Second Amendment. And there were just, I think that was part of it. There were a lot of issues that as I grew up, I realized, why am I calling myself a Democrat? Because I don't agree with them here, here, or here. But it's just how I was raised to believe. But at my core being, I a lot of that stuff didn't jive.
That's true. You know, and that's one thing I talk about. If Republicans need to know a strategy right now, first off, far and away, the winningest issue are guns for conservatives. A lot of people, they try and paint you as extremists, you know, or that's where they go to assault weapons and they try and muddy those waters because guns are a very winning issue because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of Democrats, like you mentioned, who are still pro-Second Amendment. And then you've got feminism is overreached where people are rejecting it. Freedom of speech now, since liberals have lined up directly across from it. And then Islamic terrorism. People are okay with calling Islamic terrorism, not the administration. So those four issues, the strongest of which I would say are guns. Is that why you focused on that? Do you think a lot because you think it's something that can reach across the aisle and appeals to people other than just rah, rah, rah Republican?
No, I focused on it because people were threatening to kill my kids and they were coming to my house and it ticked
me
off.
That's a good reason too.
Yeah. So I decided that it was going to be a focus because if somebody's going to sit here and issue threats out of one side of their mouth and then talk about from the other side of their mouth disarming me, I'm going to have a real problem with that person. And so the book that I wrote, Hands Off My Gun, I got so mad. I descended into my own 2A rage spiral and I did like massive amounts of research. I had someone assisting me me with research, but I did. I buried myself in statistics for over a year so I could get this book compiled and get it finished, because I was tired of hearing all of these arguments, especially from people who know absolutely crap about guns. I was so tired of hearing people sit here and use the words clip and magazine as though they're two interchangeable things, or right. use made up, you know, fairy tale unicorn terms like assault weapon. And I had one chick, she's with the Moms Demand anti-gun lobbyists. They're like the Bloomberg professional lobbyists.
Right.
That's what they do, is talk crap about gun owners. Like, what a job is that? What are those benefits like? Do you have dental? But she actually said
I don't know if they do. I think the Klan had dental for Robert Byrd, but I don't know if they do.
But she had said at one point that an assault weapon is anything that can fire 10 rounds a minute. Well, holy crap. I mean, if you have your things measured out, you could fire 10 rounds out of a musket. I mean, that's like every single firearm. And that's kind of the point. They use on purpose vague terms so that they sure. can classify all guns as bad. So I just got mad and I wrote this book as a big giant middle finger to all those people.
Right. Well, actually, you know what? They do use a lot of terms people don't understand. And then sometimes they use terms that actually do exist. For example, you know, assault weapon means nothing. Assault right. rifle is a rifle that is used in the military. So assault rifle is a term they go, oh, people already use the term assault rifle referring to this specific subset of weapons. Let's say assault weapon, and that's
well, I mean, and really, and even to an extent, that's even kind of an incorrect classification, because anything is an assault, whatever. But I mean, really what they should be saying is this has select fire capability. This does not, meaning
right.
you can flip the giggle switch on a military grade rifle and you can go to full auto. Whereas with, you know, a semi-automatic rifle, one that lacks the select fire capability, you can't. So, but they don't want to get into the nitty gritty and all of that, because no. that those are facts, and facts are scary things to people who need people to remain uninformed so they can push paranoia and fear.
Well, let me ask you this. I think that there's a huge contingency, and this is where I think Republicans and conservatives lose it. There are a huge contingency of people who aren't necessarily anti-fact. I certainly don't think most people who vote liberal are anti-fact. I think they're manipulated by some people who try to cover up or subvert facts. And I think a lot of people are just misinformed or uninformed. So would you say, when you were a liberal, obviously you were someone who you've been a truth seeker your whole life. Do you just think you were submerged into an environment where you didn't ever
no,
have access?
I was a purposeful dumbass, because it for me, okay. it was more about winning an argument than it was about being right. And I think that that's, having been there, I honestly think that that's a huge problem of the left. And, you know, there's some people that I see on the right that do this, but by and large, I mean, how can you be faced with factual information and not get it? We live in the era of information. There is no excuse at all whatsoever for anybody to not be able to research a topic and get both sides of the argument. I, like I said, I was a willful dumbass. I purposefully stuck to ignorant talking points because it was more important for me to win the argument than it was to be right. Because if I conceded a point, the point was to me not to be correct. The truth wasn't the focus for me.
Right.
It was about winning an argument. It was about winning a debate and acting like I was a badass because I could out-argue someone even though I was wrong.
Honest. I would have not been able to stand you at all.
Told you.
Even if you had the bob and your little hipster glasses back then, you would have been
the
girl.
Because I can't. I need them. I have to have them because I can't.
I bet you those are non-prescription lenses.
They totally are, as my husband. They so are.
You know, I did. You were the girl who was the bane of my existence in college, because I remember, you know, and I'm glad to meet you. Hi, now. But we had girls like that.
I have to live with that past. I have to live. And here's the kicker. I have two sons who now have to put up with chicks like that. In this society.
That's an interesting topic. So you have
exactly.
sons, and I mean, full disclosure, Dana and I and our families, we know each other, but you
we
have
don't
sons.
Know each other, no.
Yeah, we don't know each other. She disavows, she washes her hands, Pontius Pilate, when it comes to publicly acknowledging me. She's like Peter, except there's no rooster crowing. It's just her husband.
And drank my beer. Amy brought me beer, so we're
this
cool.
is true. Shine or cheer, which I don't like, but you do. I think it's too sweet. Okay. You have two boys. So
yeah.
obviously the stereotype is, right, the conservative Christian gun owner, you know, clean your shotgun on a front porch, you know. exactly. But you're pretty protective of your boys, and you talk about this.
Yeah.
And I don't have children yet, so it's something that has definitely opened my eyes, where you talk about how young girls can be sexually predatorial
mm-hmm.
with boys. And you felt the need to be, you know, that sort of cliched father with a shotgun for your boys. I mean, tell us what that's like in 2015, and how has it changed from the boys being always the pervs and in the wrong to girls sometimes
yeah.
now? Like, here's my
yeah.
Snapchat.
Yeah, it aggravates me because I'm tired of the the whole, that, what is it that we heard like all last summer? Teach men not to rape. Okay, well, let's hashtag teach women to be ladies. Not that hard, is it? Let's teach women to learn how to be ladies. I know how ladies are because I am one. I know how girls are because I was a little girl at one point. I was a teenage girl at one point. And this idea that one sex bears all of the responsibility for every single thing in life is sexist inherently. It's idiotic and it's unfair to young boys. I feel like there is a war on young boys. I feel like there's a war on boys, period, because society comes down on them so hard. Everything from Title IX to all of this other, the abortion on demand, the feminist crap that we hear about day in and day out. If they even hold the door open for a lady now, there was a poll taken, or not a poll taken, but a story written about how, well, really, that's still inherent sexism. Okay, they get your own damn door, broads. I'm tired of this stuff. I'm tired of men constantly being attacked. And Stephen, honestly, that was one of the single biggest things. That was like the lever that just kicked it all off. That's how I started on the path to actually acknowledging that, okay, maybe I am a conservative, because I brought a young man into the world, a boy that I'm raising into a young man. And I had to come face to face with the fact that all of the biggest demons that he's going to have to battle in his life are things for which I used to advocate and use all of my power to promote and make ever more prevalent in society. And so part of my punishment, I think, or part of my coming to terms with that is I'm going to now help my young men navigate all of those landmines that I set in my past as a progressive feminist.
Boy, that's a mouthful. I heard landmines, and I thought about when I stepped outside and Hopper was in the backyard, and now that the snow's melted, it's been a very unpleasant experience. But yeah. I appreciate your point. No, it's true. Listen, I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, there is a noticeable shift. And certainly as a male, no matter the problem is, you have to apologize before you say anything. There have been women who've made aggressive passes at either me or my friends, older women.
Right.
Older, particularly, I'll tell you, there was a situation at a gym with what one would now call a cougar, where if I were to do what she had done to me, I'd be hauled off in cuffs. And if I did it and it went public and people said, hey, that's sexual harassment, I would hang my head and say, you know what? Put me in the stocks. I deserve it.
Yeah. Women are aggressive. I actually dealt with a situation like that recently at SHOT Show with an older woman going after my husband, Stephen.
Was she a biker chick?
No, she was not.
I hear him laughing. Why is he laughing? Come on. It's a reasonable assumption. He's got that look.
I don't even know if I can go into the full story, but no.
It is FCC regulated, but let's hear it.
No, I don't think I can. It's not that I said a curse word, because I didn't. It was just what I said. It probably wasn't totally ladylike for me to say, but I said it really loud enough for the whole place to hear, because you know me. But no, this woman had like, and my husband just is not, you know, into that stuff. He was walking around with our friend Grady Powell, who is in Ultimate Survival Alaska. We were at one of those events after a day of sessions at SHOT Show in Vegas. I think it was an event sponsored by Glock. And we were there and we were talking with everyone. And this woman was like, super ridiculously aggressive towards my husband, like really like, you know, getting up there, getting into his space. And I'm like, my husband's a grown man. He can handle himself. You know, I don't need to. We've been married for 15 years and we got two kids. I think I got a flag on that. You know what I'm saying? So, but she kept going. She at one point remarked about his mustache, at which point I said,
oh, did she go into the mustache ride territory, something like that?
No, I did. I said I was going to later on. So later.
Oh, very nice.
I know, right? It was so.
I'm trying to think which parts of this will need to be dumped or on air. But no, I mean, it's.
That's but no, I've had to deal with this with my 13-year-old son, because I've seen younger girls be so aggressive. And I don't want to embarrass any ladies, and I don't really like to talk about, you know, my kids' private lives, because they're this digital generation.
Can you hold
generation.
That thought? Let's bring you on after, and then without embarrassing, you'll explain a little bit. Louder with Crowder, Dana Lash. Okay. Right back with Dana Lash. She was about to reveal some painfully embarrassing information regarding her children and aggressive women. Okay, so give us the gist of it. Because I know a little bit. We've talked about this.
I know. I've told you some of it. Well, and it's hard as a parent, because I don't want to hover over my kids, and I want them to be able to make good decisions on their own. But at the same time, you just want to go, everybody's evil. Everybody in the world is evil. So my son had been dealing with a young lady who actually had been a part of a youth group of which he was a member. And, you know, every kids have phones. and had been really aggressively like texting and, you know, the selfies with the duck lips and all that stuff. And I just thought that some of
what was that face again?
It was the duck lips.
Oh, okay. Just for those listening terrestrially, right now, Dana Lash looks like the situation from Jersey Shore when she's doing the face.
I looked like my mouth looked like a baboon's ass. That's what it looked like. That's what I just did.
Dana, you do enough radio. You know you can't say that on air.
Yes, you can.
I know. I know. Okay, continue with the story.
It looked like a baboon's buttocks.
Okay.
That's what my mouth looked like, Stephen.
Okay, so this girl.
So this girl was texting just, you know, a little, it was just a little inappropriate, I think, and not something that a 13-year-old young lady needed to be texting my son. Now, I didn't get on the phone and text for him. I didn't do any of that. And I just, you know, said something to my son. I'm like, well, you know, you want to make sure that the women of your acquaintance are acting like ladies. And just remember that, you know, it can get worse as they get older. And he handled it just fine all by himself. And he had told her that he didn't appreciate her behavior. And he thought that she needed to act a little bit more like a lady and stop making a fool of yourself in front of my parents because we had been at church and some, you know. Yeah. Anyway.
And then hit right click, save.
Yeah, and I just went like, "What? Like you? That was like such an epic handling." And he, but he was really nice.
What you
but
did though?
He was nice, and he wasn't trying to personally offend her.
Right.
And at the same time, he was saying, "Look, I think your behavior could have been better." And I was just like, "Hallelujah!"
Well, what you did though? What you did correctly, awesome. And knowing you and your husband, is a lot of times parents just go, you know, she's not a lady. Don't talk to her. That's bad. I'm not letting you talk to her anymore. They don't explain the reason behind, you know, right. Hey, this is what a man looks for in a woman. This is right. if a man finds a wife, he finds what is good. And this is what you want in a wife. This is the purpose to dating. And I know, I mean, you've sort of just glossed over it, but I know you teach that to your young men. And a lot of people don't. They just say, don't do this. Don't do that. And that's one thing I'm eternally grateful for. For my father, and I know your husband does it. We can refer to him by name. Everyone knows it's Chris. So I'm just like, yeah. I'm trying to keep it private, but everyone knows he's on Twitter. He has his mustache, has its own profile. Everyone knows Chris. A lot of fathers don't do that. So even if there's a father in the household or a mother in the household, there really isn't a father and a mother in the household.
Right. No, I agree with that. And I think it's really important to make that distinction. And the way I look at it, And one of the things, you know, even though my vice is that I say the word edible snakes way too much, that's my big vice. But one of the things that I always do is, I'll say a little prayer for whoever my kids, you know, future wives are going to be. Because
yeah.
I think that's really important as well. I'm keeping in mind that we're teaching him to look for someone with whom he's going to spend the rest of his life and who's going to be a member of our family.
Sure.
Who's going to be raising my grandbabies at some point, you know, heaven forbid that's still like 40 years off. But it's important, and I want him to be able to make that decision intelligently, and I want him to be able to have that emotional IQ, I think, for the lack of a better way to put it, to be able to identify those traits or lack thereof, virtue and lack thereof, in a woman. And it's really important to not just tell our boys that, but also to show them. I remember one time when they were still pretty young, we were in the toy line at Target and, or toy aisle. And I took them down to the toy aisle and I showed them the Bratz dolls. And I said, don't ever bring home a girl that wears this much makeup to mama because I'll turn on the hose and I'll hose her off on the walk.
And then you come home from your TV hits and you're like, get it off me. Don't let them
unless
see me this way.
Money. Unless it's for money on Fox and
yeah, exactly. Mama got to get paid.
No, but no, it's tasteful and it's done by professionals, and I will never wear purple up here.
That's true.
So, you know, I mean, I think it's really important to teach boys that. And at the same time, it's important to teach women what to look for, those good virtues in a man. But it's also good to tell, you know, teach women, which we talk about empowering women. Why can't we empower women to be virtuous women? Why is virtue looked at as though it is a negative instead of a positive? Because ultimately, you know, those are the kind of women that men gravitate towards when it concerns picking out someone to be their partner for life.
Not the scumbags. And, you know, what's more empowering? Right. I know feminists are already going to get mad about this because I'm not saying it's necessary. Right. But what's more empowering to a strong woman than a strong man who undergirds her and supports her values?
And women who take personal offense like that, they don't know. And I will say this very slowly so there's no mistaking in my words.
Uh-oh.
They don't understand what a partnership is.
Right.
That is what a successful partnership is. That is what a successful marriage is. I wouldn't be able to do everything that I am able to do without my husband there with me, and vice versa. It is not for a lack of strength that I say this. It is to acknowledge the strength that is in my union with him. Mm-hmm. And those who don't understand that, like I said, they simply do not understand partnerships.
No, that's absolutely right. They understand partnerships everywhere else. Well, I guess if you were gay. Or if your partnership involved going into the ladies' restroom hand in hand at Planet Fitness, then they'd be cool with it. By the way, where are all the rape culture activists with that? We're allowing tallywhackers in women's locker rooms.
That bothered me because I looked at that as though it was an attack on women. It was an assault on women. I'm not going to apologize for feeling uncomfortable being in a dressing room with a man, and it's a man. I don't care how much lipstick you want to put on it. Anyone who thinks that the sum total of a woman is some cosmetics from the Macy's counter or from Sephora, that's insulting. If they think that's the sum total of what a woman is the makeup that she puts on and the clothes that she
or even their private
that's
parts.
That's sexist.
Yeah,
it's Exactly. And women are more than just being a vagina and boobs.
Right.
We're a lot more than that.
Though those are, one could argue, the most preferable.
My husband's parts. Probably giving you a silent amen in the other way.
He
but
is.
No,
yeah.
I found that offensive. The fact that the woman was slut shamed. The same slut shaming that you see feminists complain about.
Right.
That was done to the woman who said, I'm really uncomfortable with a man being in the locker room. I'm not ever going to apologize for being watchful over my security. Women are told, Stephen, you know this. Women are told if you see something, say something. Be constantly aware of your surroundings, unless it's politically
incorrect. Planet Fitness beats down the human spirit. I mean, that first off, you know, for example, and we talk about this in the video that's going up here where I did go undercover into Planet Fitness as a lady. I didn't go in as a transgender, by the way. That's what liberals applied. I went in as a woman. If you want to call me transgender, that's on you. I dressed up as a woman, just like President Hoover. I just did a little bit of cross-dressing. I don't necessarily consider it transgender. Here's the deal. Yeah, it was President Hoover. It wasn't the vacuum guy. Yeah, it was President Hoover. Anyway, the point – I don't even know what my point was. We got way off.
You walked into Planet Fitness.
They strip people of their independence and rugged individualism by removing a squat rack because it intimidates people. Well, to give you an example.
A squat rack?
It was a proactive decision to get rid of a squat rack because it intimidated people. So at a certain point, you're excluding somebody, right?
Wait, hold up. I'm sorry. I can't get past that. Do they or do they not?
They don't have any squat racks at Planet Fitness anymore.
Why would anybody go to Planet Fitness?
Exactly.
Why would any self-respecting woman go to Planet Fitness?
They have pizza and Tootsie Rolls. They have pizza and Tootsie Rolls.
How do you work out? How do you do leg day if you don't have a squat rack?
You don't. You go in as a fat person and you leave as a fat person who feels good about being a fat person with a couple extra Tootsie Rolls in your stomach. Literally.
They have Tootsie Rolls at this gym?
They do have Tootsie Rolls and pizza. They have pizza. Ooh. What is it, Jared? Pizza night every second Monday of the month? I don't know. They do have pizza night at Planet Fitness and bagel day. So but it's a business model. People need to understand that. And this is the sort of the absolute sissification of men. No, it's not. The business model of Planet Fitness is very simple. It's not to get people stronger and healthier. What it is to get people to sign up and have the minimum amount of membership dues to be paid so that they don't cancel the auto pay. So their perfect customer is someone who pays that $10 a month and never sets foot in the gym and minimizes traffic. That's the business model. It's just low enough so that you don't cancel the auto pay. That's why they don't have a squat rack. Their dumbbells go up to 60 pounds. Anyway, we've got – yeah, I know. I know. It's horrible.
My gym has 3 squat racks, and I forgot how high the dumbbells go.
Yeah, you're probably not going much higher than 60, let's be honest, but your husband probably will.
I will get there at some point. I'm at 30. I'm halfway there.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm halfway there.
What are you doing those for? What are you using?
I do curls, and I do my tries and all that
These
stuff.
These are technical terms I need not concern myself with. It's like this muscle. Okay. Well, we got off the beam.
I'm so sore. That just gave me a stroke, what I just did.
Really?
But we have three squat racks. I'm not even going to get into the
problems. I called someone.
People don't know how to use what squat racks are for, and they go in there and do something else.
I called another gym today, and she said, well, we have a Smith machine. I said, no, but you have a squat rack. She said, well, it's the same thing. I said, no. Are you a personal trainer? She said, yes. I said, okay. I want you to go back to school. I want you to hand in your degree. I want you to fire yourself and reeducate yourself because you cannot squat in a Smith machine. It's not the same thing.
I don't even know what a Smith machine is.
It's on a track, so it's not free weight. You know, that's like the squat rack, but it's on an immovable track, so it only goes up. So you don't have to balance it. So it's a fake.
That's part of the workout.
Yeah, I know. Anyways, you're only going to make me mad, and I need to go get to, get some rest.
I'm sorry. So, I was just like, I went off into the weeds on that.
No, I went off into it too, because we've been doing this video all week and just the backlash from people at Planet Fitness. And what
you could do a whole video just on that.
On Planet Fitness, we absolutely could. We should get you
squat.
On squats. Well, I do actually. Mark Ripito is coming on. He's a big conservative.
That's awesome.
He wrote Starting Strength, and he actually writes for PJ Media every now and then. So, and it's so funny. Let me say this, because I don't know about you, but when I heard of Planet Fitness, right, and I heard the Lunk Alarm, no judgment zone, no squats are allowed, no deadlifts. These are rules, right?
No deadlifts either?
Well, people can watch the video at ladderwithcrowder.com. The alarm went off when I was working out as a woman. So we push the boundaries there. Where does their acceptance of transgender people start and their judgment of lunks begin? Because I blurred those lines. These are part of their policies. And anyways, it's only going to get, but when I saw those policies, I said, that's a liberal company. People go, well, why does everything have to be liberal conservative? I said, you know why? Because no conservative needs to put up a sign that says, we're going to exclude successful people and serious trainees. No conservative business would exclude successful people. That's that whole Occupy 1%. Right. Everyone to feel good about themselves. That's liberalism to a T.
Right.
And you're seeing it now. Obviously, you have a show every day. People hear it on Wham, where we're talking right now. But
yes,
then, of course,
sir.
People online who are watching this on the YouTubes. Where can people find you?
DanaRadio.com. And my show on The Blaze, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, which you have been on Monday through Friday.
Yes, I have been. Well, I'm not on Monday through Friday, but I have been on the show.
But you have been on the show.
You phrased it oddly, and you could have potentially been lying to my audience. So for that, we must punish you and send you on your way.
Okay, fine, whatever, Steven.
Dana, thank you so much. We'll have
to have
you back.
Thanks, Steven. All right, take care.
Hey, if you enjoyed this video, subscribe by clicking my face. Or click this video next to me. It's playing right now in a box. How do we do that? That's the magic of the internet. Is it still playing? Still playing. I don't want to look at it. Still playing, isn't it?